for me. Give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. You're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio.
Revolution in the morning
at Revolution Radio FreedomSlips.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are live on Studio A with everybody's favorite politically incorrect host, Mitchell Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, hello. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are truly witnessing the evolution of revolution. That everybody just kind of follows along in a docile manner. I knew something was wrong.
Okay, now it's time for the regressive establishment's worst nightmare. And the world's most dangerous radio host. Tell them how you feel, Mitchell.
Good morning. This is Bryce filling in for Mitchell. Comet was supposed to be here, and we gave several notices to Comet. He decided to kind of not show up, so I'm here by myself. I'm not going to insult Mitch by trying to do one of his patented rebel yells, because it would be a poor imitation. But it's a really interesting day to be doing the show like this, because there's just so much going on, or so much not going on, depending on what you believe. And it's really been kind of interesting, because one minute you have everybody talking about the war and showing all this video footage. The next minute, this video footage is from a video game from several years ago. The pictures of the Ukrainian leader are from 2 months ago. Another place says 2 years ago. So the thing is, what's really going on, and should we really care? I don't. But and again, my opinions do not reflect those of Revolution Radio. They're purely mine, but I really don't care about what's going on in Ukraine. Personally, Ukraine could disappear and the world would not blink an eye, but other than the poor innocent people there. But it's just a game that's been playing out ever since Russia first took over the Ukraine after World War II, and it's just going to keep getting worse. it looks like right now everybody's really overreacting and getting mad at Putin, which is going to make everything bad for everybody once he starts really cracking down. But so I don't know what's going on with that stuff. And it's really, it's frightening in a way because the world, you know, people, I'm 53. People my age lived through the Cold War, the tail end of it. You know, my parents lived through the beginnings of the Cold War. And they, back then, they had the magic desk to hide under in school, and they had all the lead paint lining the walls of school. So they were supposedly pretty well protected just by hiding under the desk. But nowadays, we don't have magic desks. So we have to actually deal with the reality that we have. And there's really, for the average person, there's not a damn thing we can do about anything. You know, the government is always going to do what it wants, no matter what country you're in. And unfortunately, you get, it's really bad. It's, the best thing I've seen so far is Newt Gingrich yesterday had released a piece, and Newt Gingrich, love him or hate him, he's been around for a long time and he does have some insight, but he didn't seem to be too worried. And he, you know, he says it's the end of the, it's end of the post-World War II system, and we're going to see a much more violent world, which we've slowly been heading that way for a while. But what are, you know, for the average person, it's like with the COVID nonsense, life has to go on. I lived in an area where COVID did, you know, in Nashville and the bigger areas. I live out in the middle of nowhere in Tennessee, but in Nashville, you know, and close to Nashville, you know, stuff got locked down and people would yell at you for not wearing your mask. But where I live, people still had to go out and feed the cows every day, feed the horses, feed the chickens. They had to go to work to put food on the table for the kids. And that's kind of the situation we're in right now with the quasi-war, for lack of a better word for it. It's, you know, there's so much doom and gloom out there, but the average person, they just need to go to work and put food on the table for the kids. And no matter what they're trying to do, the government seems to keep getting in the way. The government seems to keep either starting wars, starting lockdowns, and keeping the average person from doing what they need to do to survive and survive comfortably. I can't speak for anybody else but myself, but with this whole stuff that started up in Russia, and it, you know, it's pretty much, to me, my opinion, I don't follow politics really closely because it just keeps going on and on. It's one conflict after the other. That's how these people play their little power games and stay in power. But it's really looking like a repeat of what it was. What was it, back in 2014, 15, all through there when things started heating up and, you know, the world was going to end. You know, all I want in life right now, at this point in life, is I want to be able to meet face to face the woman I love, give her a big hug and give her a big kiss and look her in the eyes and tell her that I love her. So the world needs to hold together for a little bit longer so that can happen and we can start a new life. But, you know, it's just one story after the other, and even the alternative media sites that are supposed to be the true news, they're so far off the mark with the what's going on in the Ukraine. And it's just, you just really don't know what to believe. And I'm hoping that everybody is keeping some sense about them and doing, you know, normally you should pretty much be stocked up on stuff anyway, because, you know, it's good to have a couple weeks, couple months food and water and all that stuff on hand. So hopefully something like this popping up isn't sending everybody rushing to the store for things that they think they need that they probably should have already had anyway, because places I've lived, you just need that for normal storms coming through. Even in, when I lived in Maryland for, I don't know, 25 years or whatever, it would not be uncommon to be without power completely for, in some areas, for up to 2 months when a hurricane would come through, or sometimes even a bad thunderstorm. They would get horrible thunderstorms and it would knock out power for weeks to months for some areas. I mean, there are several times that my parents were bringing all their food over for me to put in my freezer in my apartment because they didn't have power. And at that time, they didn't have a generator that could actually run the refrigerator. It was, you know, they had to get stuff wired differently. It's a really old house, but, you know, so I'm going to actually look at the current headline news, but it's just all this bunk. It's all everything, you know, when we were kids, when I was a kid, it was always, you know, Russia's the evil one, Russia's this, and, you know, Germany was divided, and we've gone through history so much playing the same game over and over. And many people will get really philosophical and say how cyclical history is, but I think the main reason it's so cyclical is, you know, somebody once said that history is doomed to repeat itself. Well, it's doomed to repeat itself because we don't learn from the lessons of the past. And, you know, the TV series Star Trek was before my time, but it was, you know, the reruns were still on when I was little, and I'd watch it with my grandmother. And, you know, all throughout the Star Trek series and the movies, Earth was pretty much always at peace with itself. There would be outside interplanetary interference, but for the most part, in most of the Star Trek series, I haven't seen the last one, or the cartoon one, but Earth itself was at peace. And it would be nice if one day that we can actually find a way to make that happen, where we can stop all this nonsense and, you know, it's really nothing more than grade school pissing contests, but it's just the leaders of the different countries are the ones that are getting into it and trying to, you know, fill a power vacuum, whether it's a real or perceived one. And, you know, now they're already talking about, China trying to take Taiwan, which, you know, that's been being talked about for years. But just because of the diversion that Russia is causing and the diversion of our forces and our troops. But, again, we're just average citizens. We can't do anything about that. And I know that much of the shows on the network are more of the, you know, really fear porn, you know, to the point where it would sometimes make Alex Jones weep with envy. But, you know, we've got to be sensible and just realize what we can and can't do. I think the last election has showed us that something I've always said all my life, that your vote doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter who you vote for. They're going to put in whoever they want, find a way to do it. And unfortunately, if you actually read the Constitution, which we were taught it in school, but we had a teacher that really emphasized the part about the Supreme Court, and he made a point of saying at the end of the day, you know, if things don't go right and there's disagreements or whatever, it's always settled by the Supreme Court. And he said these are who ultimately lead the country, and they're not people you vote for. It's lifetime appointments. So that always brings back the thing, you know, even long before the discrepancies over certain amendments, whether it makes you a real man or not a man, or, you know, or whichever you choose to believe there is, we know it's going to land you in federal prison for several months. But if you choose wrong, but what it comes down to is we can't really control what goes on in this country. All we can do is take care of ourselves, our families, and our loved ones, try to obey the law so we don't end up in prison. Whether we agree with the laws or not, they're there and we have to abide by them. That's the unfortunate part. But, you know, we've got a blithering idiot in the White House now, which that pains me to say because, you know, being a Army vet and, you know, being from a family that most everybody, with the exception of my one brother, everybody served in one or more branches of the military, that you always had respect for your chain of command. But as that was explained to us in basic training, and I went in when Ronald Reagan was still in office, but you were told that you're actually respecting the chair the person sits in. You can think the person sitting in the chair is the biggest idiot in the world, but you still need to respect the chair they sit in, that, you know, behind that desk in the Oval Office. That's really hard to do with Biden. Because if you remember back when, you know, he was leading up to the campaigns. He was in it. There were all kinds of incidents that were pointing towards somebody even back then that was losing their mind or losing their grip on reality. There were incidents. There was the one incident where he's basically poking. I don't remember what the guy did for a living because it's so far out of my realm of what I actually care about. But there was one after one speech he was giving. He was talking to a guy that was, you know, Trump supporter, definitely from the Republican side. But Biden was getting mad at the guy right in his personal face, where many people would have decked the president at that time. And I'm not in any way saying you should ever hit the president. But just as somebody invades your personal space like that, you would generally start getting more defensive. And then Biden was actually poking the guy in the chest, which at that point, putting your hands on another person's an assault, but it's easy for a half-crazed old man to do that when he's got Secret Service around to protect him from anything happening to him. But, you know, Biden was getting into shouting matches with other people and, you know, calling them childish names that maybe back in Biden's day, you know, like being called a dog pony soldier was an insult. And it's like my generation were like, what the heck does that even mean? You know, you have to go, you know, my grandparents are dead, so I can't like ask them. And my great grandparents are certainly dead, but it's like my mom had no idea. That wasn't an insult going around in her time. But Biden has also been, much like Forrest Gump, been a part of things, responsible for things that never really happened, all these different events. Now, the one thing to his credit is everybody thought he was lying about Corn Pop, and it turns out that that was actually true, as unbelievable of a story as Corn Pop was. And for those not familiar with Corn Pop, that was when Biden was a young man, he was working as a lifeguard at the, you know, city public pool system. And anyway, there was a guy that was the rules of the pool at that time were that, you know, if you were a black man or woman and you had some kind of product on your hair, you had to have a cap on to keep the, you know, oil or the grease whatever from getting into the pool. Now, it's hard for me to believe, just where knowing where my parents grew up, that even back then you could have, when this supposedly happened, that just up the road a little bit more and that you had integrated pools. Because it wasn't until my mom and dad were in high school that that the school systems got integrated, where they lived in Alexandria, Virginia, and you actually had the races mixed in class and going to the same school. So maybe things were a little more progressive up in, you know, Biden's area, but, you know, it's just that story just always, you know, there's just always so much you couldn't believe about it that, you know, he throws the guy out simply because he won't wear a cap on his head. And then Biden gets word that the guy's out there waiting for him, and he's known as a leader of a gang at that time, Corn Pop was. And so Biden thinks he's going to get a knife, and, you know, he's going to get knifed by the guy. So Biden grabs a chain and wraps it around his arm and goes out to confront the guy. And it was that, you know, that's just unbelievable in itself. But it turns out they just talked and they had a somewhat of a working friendship relationship there for the community for the time that Biden was involved in it. But the story has been confirmed by so many people, white and black, that grew up in that area during those times. And even the obituary, I can't remember the guy's name, but that's what he went by, is Corn Pop. Even the obituary for the guy referenced his nickname Corn Pop. So that might be the only thing Biden has ever been honest about since in office. And he really does not seem to be aware of much that's going on. I mean, it was pretty embarrassing at the end of Reagan's term for those of you old enough to remember it, where he was obviously having problems with Alzheimer's and dementia, even, you know, even back then. And it's also questionable to me with Reagan, if, you know, knowing what my wife went through with her health issues in 2017 and just having a mild stroke in 2017 that impaired her speech and everything else, that if maybe when Reagan was shot, if he wasn't having problems before that, maybe there was something with the surgeries and stuff that he may have had a stroke that exacerbated the problems or caused him to progress a bit more. But it's been real, I'm giving Biden benefit of the doubt for the corn pop story, just because there have been people that have stepped forward and there are is newspaper articles about corn pop himself. But I'll give him benefit of the doubt that at least in his life, he's not lied about one thing, maybe exaggerated it a bit. But it's just Biden in my lifetime as a politician has never done anything, no matter what position he's been in. And he's probably much like Clinton, that people try to get these people out of the local government so they'll quit directly screwing up the district or the state they're from. But it's Biden is just I don't know that Trump would be any better, because Trump was a hothead and couldn't control his temper. But at least with Biden, you've got he has no clue with what he's doing. I mean, my favorite video is the video of him getting off the helicopter, and you have the Secret Service guys pointing the direction he's supposed to go to, which is just a very short walk into the White House, and Biden gets lost and walks the wrong way, and the Secret Service are having to chase after him to protect his stupid ass. And the one Secret Service guy, the camera catches it, he's talking into his jacket, into his walkie-talkie, but he's trying to keep a straight face and keep from just busting out laughing, because that's something that's probably hasn't happened too much. And I've had relatives that worked in the White House, and we've had family friends that were Secret Service and some of the other alphabet agencies that would be there. But my aunt was actually a chef, and she handled some events and functions for the first President Bush. But I don't know, you know, I don't know if any country right now really has decent leadership. I have said for years probably that Putin is actually one of the more reasonable leaders in the world right now. I mean, as one of our hosts who's been having a few issues lately likes to point out, that, you know, screams and cries that he's KGB. Well, he was KGB when KGB existed. He's not anymore. That's like having a fit because Bush was the father Bush, the first Bush, was former head of the CIA and stuff. In Bush's case and Putin's both, it just means they were the biggest liars in their country. But Putin has, because of his former position and knowing what's really going on in the world, if you're running your country's intelligence agency, you know what's really going on in the world, how the world works and how the game is played. But Putin is always, he's really just seemed like somebody who's a little more stable than what we produce here in this country. Because even, you know, Trump ran on the platform of drain the swamp, but then as soon as he got elected, he appointed everybody from the swamp to most of the positions. So, that, you know, really right away, as soon as he got elected and took office, we were like, okay, well, we just made a mistake there. But Putin, up until now, has, I think, been pretty restrained in trying to handle international events. But with right now, it's, we have such a weak leader, and we have such a weak country and military right now, that Putin is trying to push and see what he can get. If you remember back when Putin, what was it, like 20 years ago, when Putin was first starting to climb up the ladder, And, you know, his beliefs he made clear at that time was he wanted to see Russia reunited with all of these breakaway countries that they had lost when the Soviet Union collapsed. And Putin is trying to push and see what he can get or be allowed to do without, you know, major escalation on the part of us, which I'm sorry that say that I hope we don't do any major escalation, because we simply, right now with the weaponry that Russia has, they don't really have anything that, you know, we don't have a counter for. We could not, even before they came out with the hypersonic weapons, we would have a hard time protecting against their MIRVs, because one missile can break away and have multiple different smaller missiles that can go in completely different directions, and they're very hard to stop. But the problem we've got right now is we're putting, you know, Russia has also reacted. People are saying it's a Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0, just the sides are reversed, and that's been said on this station too, and it's incorrect. It's people that don't know their history. But the Cuban Missile Crisis came about because we had put missiles in Turkey, and they could basically reach, at that time, the technology, they could reach Russia in about 5 to 10 minutes. And we had put missiles in Italy, which could reach Russia in 5 to 10 minutes. So Russia retaliated against us by putting missiles into Cuba that could reach us in 5 to 10 minutes. And now that finally the leader, and our side wouldn't have done anything because Kennedy was because of who his dad was, Kennedy was a puppet that was controlled, and he wouldn't have backed down. He would have done what the military industrial complex wanted, but if it had not been for the leadership in Russia, we would be back after the break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hey, everybody. everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Bump a little honey on the lone highway. Left it for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, where we left off was I was talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis, and that was averted just because the leadership in Russia backed down and had a little bit more common sense. We were trying to really push into a war then. And now we've got where we're at now because we have been for several years, the current war, the crisis in Ukraine, whatever you want to call it, we're at the position we're at now where NATO has been surrounding Russia and putting up all of these different, you know, military installations, missile installations in all these countries right around Russia where they can, again, in 5 to 10 minutes be hit by a missile. And the interesting part of that is the first President Bush, when he was telling Gorbachev to take down the wall, and Reagan was president then, but it carried into Vice President Bush, and he was part of what he was telling them is, you know, okay, you take down the wall in Germany, we will not expand NATO. We gave that promise to Russia, which we have broken, and we generally break our promises to most countries eventually. I mean, you can ask Gaddafi and all these other people that we've gone back on what we said. Even their initial problems in Cuba, we had helped overthrow Batista and we had put Castro in office, and then we get tired of Castro and we try to get rid of him. So our country has a history of play, you know, it's like the old game Risk, but we're doing it more behind the scenes and covertly. But right now, the situation we've got is one that we and NATO have caused by continually pushing Russia to the point where they have nowhere else to go to back up to retreat. And they feel very threatened, as anybody would, with missiles being put that close to them. And Russia, where our country has been for years downsized with Obama and even before him to an extent, downsizing the military and closing bases and, you know, even like they were going to close MacDill for a bit and way back when. And I said, no, they're not. But once the president then gets made aware of what actually goes on at MacDill, they can't close that base because it's too crucial to keep things going. But, you know, so our military has been downsized. Trump came in and built our military back up, which that in itself has to be seen as threatening to Russia, because as NATO has kept putting in all this armament right around Russia, then, you know, when the military gets bigger and stronger, there's really only two targets that are ever going to be a threat to us, and that's China and Russia. And most of us are old enough to have seen the original Red Dawn movie. And, you know, then later on we had the TV series Jericho, where it was, you never completely got to see how that got resolved, but you got the rushed second season, and it, by all accounts, appeared to be a false flag event. So, you know, the talk has always been, how is our country going to, when it comes to us being broken down and falling apart as a country, would it ever be a Red Dawn scenario or a Jericho scenario? And back when Red Dawn was made during the Cold War, that threat was very real for a lot of people. Most of us just went about our lives and went to work and, you know, enjoyed life, but it was a more legitimate scenario. Now it's, you know, China's stronger into play because they own so much of the ports, and it's so easy for them to get things in and out, and they have missile battery systems that look like containers that are on any of the container ships sitting in any port. And now with the lockdowns and the ports so backed up and understaffed, all kinds of things could be going on in the ports that we don't even know about, but it's also not stuff that we should lose sleep about because it's not something we control. And, you know, we just don't have control over these things. We have to live our lives. But this current war, if you want to call it that, in Ukraine and Russia, it's really got the potential to get a lot worse really quickly, but it looks like, you know, as history will sometimes do, repeating itself again, where Europe is really, you know, Biden's all talk. Biden's not really doing anything for the most part other than sending some troops over. But it's really the Europe that may end up drawing us into a world war again. And it, where there's so much conflicting information coming out, you know, so far about the war, how many losses there actually are, you know, how many have been actually killed, tanks being blown up, whether any of this is even true. Some of the first, I quit looking after the first video got posted and into host chat, and supposed to be showing Russian soldiers that were, you know, their vehicle was attacked and they were killed, and it's, okay, you're seeing all the bodies, but you're not seeing any blood. And unless everybody is a crack shot and it shot them through the heart and instantly stopped it, there's going to be some blood when people get shot. So I don't, you know, with so much of the crisis actors and everything else going on in this country, you don't really know what to believe. And it's been really difficult to try to see what's going on, but you know, you can see the speeches that people in different parts of Europe are making that are threatening Russia and wanting to get Russia out of the SWIFT banking system. And I mean, a lot of the financial stuff is just for show because it's only getting some of the banks. It's not, the last I read, it's not getting all of Russia out of the SWIFT system. It's only certain Russian banks, but But for years, Russia has also been wanting to get rid of all U.S. currency and only trade in other currencies. So there's just so much financial stuff that's been at play through all this. But while our country has been downsizing, you know, and continually downsizing since before Trump took office and started to try to build the military back up, Russia has kept investing money into even at times when they barely could afford to pay their soldiers, they were investing money in new armament, new technology, and new weaponry, which, you know, some of the, just looking at it objectively, some of the stuff they've got is pretty amazing and darn near unstoppable. I don't know how it would probably be 20 years before we could even come up with something that could hope to replicate what they have with the accuracy they have. But we still have a problem shooting missiles somebody else shoots out of the sky, just simple stuff. I mean, we're talking about even like over when our missile systems are used in the Gulf War and even here in the last round with Iraq and Afghanistan, a lot of the missiles they're using are really just really old, and they're, you know, there's no really powerful fuel. Some of them are even kerosene-based, but we're having a hard time even stopping them. So, you know, the most advanced weaponry in the world, Russia's not somebody I'd really want to make mad and try to go to war with, because, you know, it's eventually going to, because of everybody having nuclear weapons now, it's going to eventually get to the point where if a war does break out, nuclear weapons will be used. And it's not like atomic weapons that, horrible as they were, that, you know, it's just going to affect that area for the most part. Nuclear weapons can wipe out everybody because all the fail safes will start going off and, you know, everybody just throwing everything they have at somebody else. But the interesting thing, though, too, with Russia is we still have our nuclear weapons are to be used for not as a first strike. They're to be used as a second strike. We're supposed to absorb whatever hits us and then release our nuclear weapons if they haven't been taken out. Russia hasn't. It was about maybe, I'm just going from memory, about maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago, that Putin kind of reversed the way the laws were there and in Russia, and now they have their first strike doctrine that if they think they're going to be attacked, they're allowed under their laws to hit with nuclear weapons. So if people could trying to be the toughest guy, you know, it's like a global game of King of the Hill. But it's going to be to the point where, you know, if people keep pushing, Russia is going to strike and they're going to hit hard. And Europe is in the middle of a collapse. I mean, luckily it didn't help them too much right now. It probably will eventually, but the UK was able to get away from the EU. It's collapsing and it's been a slow collapse watching it collapse, but the member nations are one after the other will go bankrupt and then the others have to help them out. They raid all the pensioners and all the retired people, raid their bank accounts and raid their pensions and stuff. And so Europe is really hurting, but Europe is also the one really trying to instigate more right now with Russia than I think even what the U.S. is. And that's sad that, you know, usually we're the ones that are trying to instigate everything, but right now Europe is really just going crazy, but they're in free fall. Germany, who depends on Russia for a lot of their fuel for heating and for vehicles, they have told Russia, you know, they don't, you know, they have shut down the pipeline. So Germany is really only hurting their own citizens now, and it's going to be hard for them to keep warm during the winter, which thankfully is getting close to being over, hopefully. But yeah, even as my brother Patrick, I love you, bro, has pointed out, that even conventional weaponry in Russia far outweighs ours. And when I went into the army in September of 87, you know, what you train with is certainly different than once you get out of basic training and you get out of AIT training and you go to your where you're going to be stationed and what your job is. But we were still training with Vietnam era stuff. And this was in 1987. We were training with the M16A1s, which on that the most they could do was a 3-round burst. At that time, they had the A2s out that could do a 5-round burst, but you did not get issued those until you got into AIT training, which was for that was the train after basic training. You went to AIT training. Sometimes they were combined depending on your job, but the AIT training is where you learn to do whatever job you signed up to do in the Army or whatever branch of service. But, and it's like our helmets and everything were Vietnam era steel pots. They weren't the new advanced stuff that, you know, they give you an AIT. We've always had our weaponry is really bad compared to other countries. If you go back and look at the World Wars, even like World War II, we were sending out mounted cavalry on horses. Hi, Lady Horse. And we're sending out mounted cavalry on horses to face German tanks in battle. And not all over, but in many areas. But that was why during World War II, we were just playing. When it first started, if we had actually started building things up then until we got, but we waited until we got sucked into it, that, and then it's like we were just playing catch up. It's everybody was working in factories, you know, making bombs, making riveting airplanes, and any supplies for, you know, you couldn't buy a new house. You could only buy an existing house because all the supplies were going for building bases overseas and building the things the soldiers need. Food was rationed. They came out with a point system for meat. You could only buy so many points of meat, which is why hamburger got so popular. And even the garbage bread, like the Wonder Bread type stuff, got popular because it was lesser quality. And all the good stuff was going to the troops. We'd never have been, regardless of what we may think, and because of what we're told by our politicians, we have never invested in defense that much in our country. We have certainly making the defense contractors very wealthy with all the research and stuff, but their ability to actually produce something in mass so that it can be deployed, you know, to all of our bases, we've just been so far behind even just Russia. Even during the Cold War era, Russia weaponry that the average soldier in Russia had was a lot better than what we were having, you know, our average soldier. And now it's just like laughable. The imbalance is so great. And then, of course, China, you know, steals everything. And it's so they're more advanced than us. They've got hypersonic weapons that from everything I've seen and read that certainly look like they actually work. Yeah, and it's, yeah, you know, so we're just like continually sinking down further and further into the sand, and, you know, we're getting left behind, and not to mention all of our jobs we're shipping overseas to China and to other countries. And I don't know how, you know, how people in the government really expect, even though they're up there talking tough like they do to Putin and to the world at large, that I'm hoping these people are not so stupid they think we could seriously even attempt to win a war with Russia. That's just not possible. And even if a world war broke out, because the balance of power has changed so much over the years that, okay, all of our, everything is made in China. Even our weaponry and our equipment, everything to a large point is made in China. And we don't even have to make things anymore. We don't have the natural sources, the rare earth minerals, and it would take, you know, 10 to 15 years probably to get some of that stuff even start getting mined and production quality ready here to even try to make some of our own things again. And so at least with World War II, when we had to actually start making so many things, we could and equipment, we could do it. But now all of the stuff that we use to make it, even from our medicines to treat our sick and wounded, come from China, or in some cases it's made in India. So it's when we've become so dependent, we're like a third world nation that has become so dependent on all these other countries that are actually advancing technology-wise, that we can't even do the basics to provide for our society without relying on China and these other countries. And for people my age, I'm, again, 53, I can remember when I was little, things were made in Japan, and things then started getting made in Taiwan, things started getting made in Singapore, things started getting made in China, things went to Vietnam, and some things are made in India. It's just slowly everything has gone out of our country, and we're lucky that, you know, the wonderful lady who is running this station and the head of it, that she's working in an industry where it's still a factory that's making things for cars. But I think it's lucky that we're able to even have any manufacturing jobs in this country with how much the world balance has shifted. And I suggested to Mr. Rowe privately, somebody that would be interesting to comment on the guest here, but as a guest for some of this stuff to comment on, just because this guy, Chris Crawford, he basically started the war gaming for video games for home computers in like the mid 80s, and he even wrote a book about it. But the first real war games that you could commercially go buy in the store in the 80s were written by him. He's a brilliant mind, and he's was writing these games. The first one was called Eastern Front, and the second one was called Balance of Power. But I had a few talks with him over the years, because he used to be a member of a game development, a discussion list I ran, and you have just a brilliant mind. And it's like, I'd love to know what Chris thinks of the current stuff going on, just because of his experience in studying and researching history and wars to be able to make his war games. And like I said, he also wrote a book about war game development. And he also has even worked for NASA on stuff. So that's even a completely different direction. But our political leaders, they don't, you know, to use my grandfather's expression, they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They really are just completely clueless. You have a hard time explaining to them the basics of any internet legislation or any modern copyright legislation, because they cannot simply understand the way the world works now since computers have come along. So we've got Biden, who is just, I don't know what he's going to do, or, you know, nobody knows what he's going to do or say next. Not even Biden knows, evidently. But it's, you know, he's too busy eating ice cream cones, which maybe in history will say that was probably the best thing he ever did, because it kept him from doing something even more stupid. But I don't know if, you know, history will tell us what Biden's reaction to all this is going to be. But Biden he's not even close to being anywhere on the list of people I'd want to run this country at this time and place in history. I would want somebody with some know-how and somebody that had some experience and understood the way the world is now. But you've got these old-timers and I love our old-timers, I love our senior citizens, and I love our vets, but you've got these old-timers that just cannot keep up with the times, that are trying to compete in a world they don't understand anymore. And with Biden, it's never been more apparent that we have a president who is just, politely put, an idiot. And it's when you're facing off against Putin, who's one of the most, you know, again, as former head of the KGB when that existed, FSB is pretty much the same thing, just renamed, but he's just, at the time and probably still is, the smartest leader in the world. And he really understands how the game is played globally, and he's generally probably not going to make too many mistakes. And even what I've seen of the underground military bases and shelters in Russia, and I've been privy to some of those over the years, they're actually, even though that when they were built, they're more, a lot more crude than what we do. We also, you know, we build our own, but I think the Russian ones are actually, because they're less dependent on modern technology, they're able to withstand and hold up better over time. Our, you know, our government keeps investing in all this underground stuff, but the one thing I think, if you look at some of the stuff that's gone on that with the bases and even with our submarines, the one problem they run into is with breathable air. And our, I think my personal belief is anybody going underground in the United States, they're not going to be able to stay there more than a year or two before they run out of air, because the filters and oxygen scrubbers just are not as effective as they think they are, whether somebody put a monkey in the works or a rabbit in the works. Back then, when they were planning and trying to do the testing to see how much and all the simulations of how powerful something needs to be, I don't know if it was purposely misled, but we just have a problem. We're going to have a problem with that many people being in these shelters and being on the ground, that they're going, not going to have clean air, and they're going to be forced to come out or they're going to die. And because the filters will not last and the machinery will not last, it's, that is the weakest point, other than the fear of fire on a submarine. The weakest point of a submarine is keeping that air clean. And submarines are lucky that they can, you know, at a time of when there's not war, they can actually surface and open up some hatches and let some clean air in, but they're generally always on the move anyway, because, you know, they have to come up to a certain depth to empty. I can't. We'll be back after the break.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener supported radio, the printing press for freedom, at a time when freedom is needed the most.
that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4am Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
The pill has been taken. The blinders are off. Are we in the end game, or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened with no choices? Different people have different points of view. When it comes to creation versus evolution, my point of view, we were created to evolve. The Red Pill, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B. www.freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Check it out.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Alright, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Okay. Just want to remind everybody that we are a listener-supported radio station. We have two stations streaming mostly 24 hours a day. And last count, I think, was over 80 different hosts. But if you go to our website, freedomslips.com or revolution.radio, .com on that, you can find all kinds of different ways to donate. You can make donations via Patreon. You can, if you're in another country, there's DonorBox. There, you can make direct payments, which are here for North America only. But you've got various forms of cryptocurrency, which it looks like three different ones currently you can use to donate to Revolution Radio. And any amount you can donate is always appreciated. And if you want to just send a money order or a check, you can send it to Revolution Radio and address it to Terry Ackerman, TerryAckerman. And her address is 1793 North Eden, E-D-O-N Road, in Allen, with A-L-L-E-N, Michigan. And the zip code is 49 2227. And I'd like to also point out we have a very wonderful merchandise store through Zazzle that you can find all kinds of wonderful things for sale. And any sale, anything you buy there, 40% off mugs and drinkware right now. But I've got some Revolution Radio mugs as well as shirts. But anything you buy from there, from us there, it will go to help the station. And the thing is whatever products you're looking at, like I'm just going to click on the first coffee cup that pops up. If you want something that we do not have listed, you can scroll down and there's an option to use that design way down at near the bottom. It says transfer design to a product. So you can actually take that design that's on that coffee cup or whatever it is you like. And if it's a product that we don't have listed on the store, you can still order, you know, the product, everything from chili bowls to soup mugs to a flask to get you through your day at work to candy jars to anything that Zazzle sells. You can put that logo on and the money from the sale, all the proceeds will still go to Revolution Radio. So you're not limited just what is in the store. You can basically take those designs and with a couple of clicks have it put on anything that Zazzle sells. So please consider supporting Revolution Radio because none of us get paid, whether it's the staff for the moderators or the staff that run the station or any of our hosts. It's all time that is volunteered because we love Revolution Radio and we love Talk and believed in his vision that there needs to be an outlet for people to speak freely, whether you agree with their beliefs or not. That's what free speech is about. It's not about snowflakes being offended by everything. It's about people being able to say what they want. So now we're going back to what we were talking about before the break, and we're just in such a situation with Biden that, you know, there's just no way our country can compete in a war, and I don't think any American citizen other than the crazy Hollywood elite and all these people, the talking heads in the entertainment industries that for any social cause, now the biggest one instead of Black Lives Matter or, you know, that guys have to have their parts chopped off and become girls. Now the big thing that they're all getting behind is, oh, Russia's evil and Russia must be stopped, which they're not thinking that if that, you know, happens and a war breaks out, you know, the West Coast is probably the first thing to go because we'll probably be able to hold off any forces that come from the West Coast, hopefully be able to hold them off in the Rocky Mountains. But it's, you know, the Hollywood elites are just, you know, they're wanting their own doom and demise, but COVID has pretty much destroyed their music and movie industry, that there's not a lot of entertainment stuff anymore. The only thing that's profitable is the movies and stuff that are going direct to streaming services, and people will pay for that, and they will just like to stay in their home now and watch movies. And that's even the way the TV series are going. We've had the Cobra Kai TV series that since it came out, it's been strictly streaming, and it's very, very profitable, and they just release the whole season at once, so you can binge watch it, and that's the way everything's moving. So we're getting an entertainment industry that's largely not relevant anymore, spouting off, trying to make themselves relevant, trying to instigate. Of all things, all of these people are trying to instigate a war when so many years back they were all about peace and anti-war and they were against Vietnam and everything else. But so it's just the sides have been flipped, but that's much the part of the history of our country. You know, the Democrats and Republicans stand for completely different things than what they used to stand for. It's just the sides get flipped. But now we're at a situation where we have the potential to face a foe in Putin that we could not ever hope or dream to stop. And, you know, yesterday our embassy was advising Americans to leave Russia immediately. And that's not advising Americans that work at the embassy to leave. That is advising any American citizen who is living and or working in Russia or even visiting to get their butt out of the country. They're saying that so far it's just because of the flight issues that so many flights coming from Russia are being blocked and not being allowed airspace over other countries. But I don't know if our country is stupid enough to actually try and attack Russia, but it's really interesting to be watching this playing out. If it wasn't such a serious potential for world conflict, that nobody in the world is ready to deal with this, and nobody in the world can really fight a war right now. Nobody can afford to, and the people don't have the heart for it coming out of COVID. And I know people point out that the other world wars were right after big disease outbreaks, but history doesn't always repeat itself the way we want it to. And, you know, financially, before we could do that with World War II, because we had the ability to build stuff, how can we go to war against Russia or China where we're needing to build our weaponry systems, we're needing to build new weapons, but we can't build them until we get the circuit boards from China, which as soon as we would start a war, those would stop. I mean, we're already fighting with Russia over what's going to happen to the International Space Station, and Russia saying, you know, trying to remind people that if we completely cut off relations with them, that, you know, they can't guarantee the safety of that. They say, we don't care. It's not going to land. It doesn't even fly over Russia, so we don't care, but it could hit these other countries. And, you know, of course, Elon Musk steps up and he says, well, we'll take care of that and maintain it. And he certainly the technology to do that, but because they go, you know, SpaceX sends rockets up there all the time to supplies and even people. But it's just like Ukraine. It's, you know, supposedly all the power and stuff's being cut off, and it's not, because people that are living there are posting videos and showing their areas. They got power. They're using the internet. They're using their cell phones. But Elon Musk has stepped up and making Starlink available over there, which, so at least the citizens of Ukraine will have some internet service if they don't have it, but they'll be getting crappy internet service that generally doesn't work, so that's not going to be too beneficial either. But it's watching just this on play just in the few days, it's like a really bad made-for-TV movie from the 80s where everything was just so unbelievable, you know, that would be in the movie, because they're trying to fit everything into that two-hour time slot that's, you know, got like 10 minutes of commercials for each half hour. So everything had to unfold at such a fast pace. But this, you know, this is looking to me more like I've been watching all the stuff in what we call host chat. We got a special little part of Skype that all the hosts of the show can talk to each other and rant and rave kind of about anything, it seems. And I've been watching all the stuff posted, and, you know, whether I agree with another host or not, I have nothing but love and respect for all the hosts here, but there's been a lot of fear mongering, and a lot of it's probably because a lot of people are genuinely scared, because the potential for this can be so bad and so quick. But it's really looking like a repeat, just a little bit harsher repeat of, you know, what was going on in 2014, 2015. And it looks to be more like, I agree with the article from Newt Gingrich, and I'll put that link here in the chat room now that I can get into chat, that it's basically, you know, Russia's just trying to see what they can get away with when we have the weakest presidency of my lifetime. Even Jimmy Carter was a better president and a stronger leader than what Biden is, and that's saying a lot. And so I don't know what Biden is going to do, if anything. Last I knew, he went left for vacation again, which not necessarily a bad thing, because if he's not there on the job, he can't cause as much trouble. but Russians are, you know, depending on which news source you go to, it's just one side, the other's winning, Ukraine's winning and devastating Russia, which is about the most laughable thing. And then you've got, you know, Russia's just killing everybody and going house to house and killing people, and it's not true either. So I don't know. There's so much just fake media that we don't know what to believe. But the thing is, like I said before and started out the show, the problem with all this fear porn is we have to go about our lives. We have to provide for our families and our loved ones, or if we're starting a new family or whatever, we have to just continue on. And until if something does break out, we can't stop it. And if it does break out and it turns nuclear, it's going to be over pretty quick. But we have to be able to just live our lives every day that we have on this earth, where regardless of what your belief system may be, if you have any at all, but each day that we're on this earth, we need to make the most of what we have and what we've been given, and do the best we can to take care of our loved ones and our families and provide for them. And society just, you know, society was wrong to give in to the fear of COVID and just completely almost collapse because of COVID. And, you know, and that's horrible. Many people have died, including my wife, but life has to go on. And that was something my wife and I would always butt heads about, that if something happened to her, she wanted me to move on. She wanted me to find somebody else. And she wanted me to live my life and be happy. And so many families around the world right now, during the period of COVID, regardless of whether it's real or not real, a lot of people, because they've been, you know, put at home and they've been cut off from health care because the hospitals are only treating COVID patients, a lot of people have died that would have normally otherwise possibly lived. But every family around the world has been dealing with a lot of loss, or at least know someone who's been lost during this time period. And it's all that any of us can do is keep going. We don't need to be coming out of this and making ourselves completely scared to now come out of our house because of nuclear bombs are going to be hit us, or Russian soldiers are going to be walking through our streets and shooting at us, which thankfully in our country they haven't said that's going to happen yet, but they're certainly talking about that in the Ukraine, that supposedly the Russian troops are going door to door and executing people or shooting people just where they find them. And, you know, just all of this propaganda nonsense. And all of this propaganda has always existed, you know, even in our country back during the Civil War and Revolutionary War. But it was just the means of communication were so much slower back then. It took forever for that propaganda to spread and to get to such a fevered pitch. Now it's, you know, a lot of times in the old days, by the time you heard about something, it was already over and done with. But now it's because of the instant communication we have with the internet and the phone systems and everything. You can call around the world very easily just from your cell phone you keep in your pocket. That all this news is just spreading left and right, and it's not, unfortunately, because none of us really, unless you actually live there, you don't know what's going on, and there, anything you're seeing filmed can be, people can say it's one thing, but it could really be something else, or it could be from a, you know, video could be from a different time frame. It's like the Ukrainian, their Twitter account, the Ukrainian government had put out videos of a dogfight of showing how good they were doing against Russia, but it was actually video footage from a video game. And then they put out, I don't know if it's actual video, but I saw still pictures of the leader of the Ukraine in full fatigues out fighting supposedly against Russian forces that were invading. But that was from, one place said months ago and one place said years ago. So, I mean, it's the photo ops, just like what Putin does, where he's out riding a horse without a you know, without a shirt on, which you might want to actually get out in the sun a little bit and get some chest hairs like a man puting before you go riding on a horse without a shirt on. But, and all the different photo ops that Putin has done, and, you know, of course, then that's, at least he's doing manly photo ops. Our president, his photo op is anytime you see him in the photo, he's licking an ice cream cone, which makes you wonder what he's licking in private. But it's just our country is just in such a vulnerable state right now because of our leadership and because of what happened with the last election. And even if you believe the election was fair and square and that Trump lost, well, if you want to agree with that's what really happened, it still doesn't mean the best person for the job won. Not when you have such weak leadership that when other countries do not respect you, you will have people trying to see what they can get away with. And that's what I think Newt Gingrich is onto here with Putin, is he's just trying to see what he can get away with, because he has always wanted to get Russia back to its former glory and get all of these breakaway countries back as part of Mother Russia. And unfortunately, we're not really in a position to do anything about it, but it's also just, it's not really our job to do anything about it. I mean, we have defense treaties with certain countries, but we break those all the time. And I'm not saying we should break any treaties, but if Russia wants to invade Ukraine, it sucks for Ukrainians, but it's also, there's not a lot the rest of the world can do about it other than sign a suicide pact and go to start World War III and everybody die for Ukraine. And I'm not going to express personal opinion because that would really be really hated, but I'll just put it out there as a question this way. What does Ukraine as a whole contribute to the world? What products come out of Ukraine that the world can't live with? What food, what anything that comes out of Ukraine, what are they contributing to the world? Or are they just one of these shithole third world countries like some of these Muslim countries, which doesn't mean they don't deserve to exist, but it just means that maybe other countries shouldn't be so willing to throw away their lives of their citizens over a country that maybe in the overall scheme of things, that if it disappeared, would the world really even notice if it wasn't in the news? It's not like you're going into your store and finding goods or anything made in Ukraine. And it's horrible. I mean, you don't want the loss of life by any means, but it's Russia's always had the doctrine that it will protect Russians living anywhere. And you've had the two little regions that have broke away from Ukraine and come back to Russia, but you still have Russians living in Ukraine. And perhaps that's who Putin is wanting to protect from us funding and all the rebels and stuff. And if you can remember back to 2014, when all that was happening and we were pouring money into that, and we also were using some of the other extra government forces that we've used to go in there, some of the private militia groups to go in there and handle things, and they were caught on video being there with their insignias and everything. It's, you know, who knows, but it's just all this, and it's, then we've had so many of these labs that are dealing with stuff in Ukraine that they're there because it's illegal to do that in this country. So that's why we have set up labs in other countries to deal with these biological and chemical agents, to keep experimenting on new ways to kill and maim humanity. I mean, I can't speak for everybody else, and I'm sure every branch of service has a different type of training, and especially now what they go through is probably a lot different than what I went through in 87. But One of the worst things I've ever had to watch was sitting through the NBC classes, the nuclear, biological, chemical classes, and watching video footage of what some of these weapons do to people. And even just something as old, but to now is really old school, but white phosphorus, what it does to the human body and how hard it is to extinguish that once people get hit with it, because it will just keep burning and burning and burning. And about the only thing you can do is throw mud on it to keep somebody from burning. But that's supposedly supposed to be banned, but you still see a lot of video footage that comes out of the Israeli conflicts that keep happening, where they are hitting people with stockpiles of the munitions that they must have or been given, or, you know, have created new themselves. But it's just really a sad situation, because again, it doesn't matter to me. It's like the Vietnam War. It's like, okay, everybody here had to go fight over in Vietnam. Meanwhile, in Vietnam, they're probably telling, you know, they were telling everybody over there that these, you know, Americans are evil. They're coming over to kill us. You got to join and fight. Everybody just wants to paint everybody else as the enemy. And at some point, we're one of my new friends since I've come back to Revolution Radio, and I hope I'm not jumping the gun by calling him a friend, is Crow. I really love the guy, and he's I respect my elders, and he's an elder, so I listen to him. And it's like yesterday there was, we were talking about, you know, killing people, and I asked to, you know, I told him I'm not trying to instigate anything. I just genuinely would like to know how you feel about, you know, for defense. And he's, you know, was very clear. Even for self-defense, he would not want murder on his karma. And I don't disagree with that. But I would like, you know, I would pretty much feel the same way. I mean, it's, you can defend yourself without having to actually kill somebody. Hopefully it's, war is different, but war really shouldn't be, period. We'll be back after the break.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan Franklin. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at
philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Okay, we're back. And leaving off, you know, we're picking up where we left off. It's, you know, it's just we've got so much going on in this world right now. Now, I don't think any country really wants a world war, but you have so many leaders trying to act like tough guys to keep their constituents impressed so that they can get reelected next time that they may be stupid enough to push us into something, but it hopefully will fizzle out. And but it's so far it's just really, you know, it really doesn't look to be too bad. So it, hopefully it will be what it was before and just a conflict and it will even out. But it looks like this time Russia may be more in control of the Ukraine before. And I'm not sure why. I wasn't told exactly this time. Last time Mitch said what he needed me to fill in for him for. This time he just asked, and I said, yeah. And I said, I'll talk to Comet, and I've tried to talk to Comet and a couple times, and he just kind of ignored me and kept talking about other stuff, which is fine. But whatever Mitch is dealing with, or even if he's just traveling, I hope he's having a safe journey and a safe trip. And if he's dealing with anything more serious, I, you know, he's always in my hopes and my prayer thoughts and prayers anyway. But so it's, you know, what are we going to do? What is anybody? I'm looking at chat and everybody's just getting over making fun of Hijacker, which is the official pastime of Revolution Radio. You're not allowed to actually join the community unless you got a couple of Hijacker jokes that haven't been heard before. But, and that's a joke in itself, but it's, you know, what are any of us going to do about anything our government does? It's, we can't stop them. And even with the July 6th stuff, where the protest that was, you know, any smart people stayed away from that. But I actually had a friend caught, a musician, famous, I won't mention his name, but caught up in that nonsense. And I haven't talked to him in years, but used to know him back in the days of Florida, because Florida-based guy and Florida-based band. But everybody that went there, you know, now is going to be, many of them are going to be spending time in federal prison or have criminal records. And that's all that they, at the end of the day, that's all that they accomplished is, if you want to go out and protest, that's great, but you don't need to be breaking, even if a guard is holding the door open for you, you don't enter a government building unless it's one that you generally have public access to. And it's just the mob mentality, not saying that they were a mob or in any way violent, but that's the term. It's just when people get together, that energy that's in the air, people will sometimes do things they normally wouldn't do. And it was great to see the truckers up in Canada having actually a spine and a backbone. And they actually got some stuff accomplished, because there was, I didn't keep a close watch on that because I don't live in Canada, so it's not really my place to comment on that. But it, I try not to comment on stuff in other countries too much politically, unless it's really affecting us here. But we had a lot of American truckers going up there, so I did watch some of it. But it's some of the areas of Canada were basically telling Trudeau, no, we're not going to do that. We're doing away with the mandates, and the truckers in our area can, you know, just, they don't need to get the shots. They can just actually do their job and get the food and goods to the people or whatever else they need to do with their truck. But it's so, you know, it's just so crazy, and there's no standard. Every country has different standards. Every country has, you know, its own system that's broken down into regional states, or it's broken down into territories in that country, that many of those, like in our country, have, each state has very different laws. And it's really hard to know what anybody is really going to do about anything, because our government does not function. And I've always said, I've said this since I was a teenager, that the greatest strength of our government is its sheer incompetence. That's our greatest strength, because it's really hard to do anything bad when you're so incompetent you can't get anything done at all. And it's like that for a lot of other countries too. And I've belong to one programming forum. I used to belong to a lot, but it's most of the people there are in the UK. There's some that are in a couple other countries. But, you know, when Boris Johnson got elected, and it's like I posted on there, I feel so sorry for you people, because I don't know why you guys elected him, because he's an American. He's going to screw everything up, which seem to be quite prophetic. That's kind of what American politicians are good at, that we screw stuff up. But now it's like we've got, you know, Boris Johnson was born in New York City, so he's an American by our Constitution. But he goes over there and he's screwed that up. And he's, you know, in danger of getting removed from his job because of some of the stuff he keeps doing. But every political system in every country is broken and not functioning. Russia, as especially back in the day, Russia was just really, really bad. It seems to have pulled itself together pretty functional now, but I mean, there's still a lot of corruption in the Russian mafia, and there's corruption everywhere. I mean, our country's always had corruption, and, you know, we've always had the different mafias, for lack of a better word, especially in the big cities back in the day. New York City, you had the Polish mafia, you had the Jewish mafia, you had the Italian mafia, and you had half a dozen others, probably the Chinese mafia. And it's, meanwhile, our country is falling apart. My girlfriend and I were talking to my mother on the phone the other day, and my mother was talking about how bad events had gotten down in Baltimore, where the current mayor, who his job before becoming a mayor, really the only thing he ever did was he was a squeegee boy. He was somebody that would take a squeegee, come up to your car, and clean your window when you're stopped at a stop sign, and he would then demand money for it. And that's the way it used to be. They would just demand money. And now my mom's telling me, because I don't keep up with the news in Baltimore. Even when I lived there, I would watch the TV stations out of Pennsylvania because the news wasn't as depressive. But now that she's telling me the squeegee boys down in Baltimore, they've really stepped it up a lot more, that they will just drag the people out of the car and beat them, if not worse. And they will, you know, destroy the car or steal the car if you don't tip them. But that's everywhere in Baltimore is falling apart because of the leadership, because they've gotten to the point where, okay, they arrest the people, and they only arrest some of them. There's tons and tons of outstanding even murder warrants in Baltimore City, but they arrest people for doing something in the city, and the prosecutor just will not prosecute them. It's like many of the other cities, Los Angeles and New York, where they're not wanting to prosecute certain crimes. They're wanting to release people on bail with little, just a tiny bit of bail, or actually no bail in some areas. And, you know, our society has fallen apart, and every country is trying to worry about what's going on in other countries instead of kind of minding their own business about what's going on in their home country and trying to improve that. And if we can't do that as a society, I don't know what we can export to another country other than examples of hypocrisy, you know, because it has to be do as, you know, it becomes a case of do as I say, not as I do, because we're not doing good here. We're letting our country be destroyed by the liberal agenda, and it's so pervasive in our society where I'm using the term, I don't even know what term to use. It used to be you would use the term gender confusion, which that's not correct. And I'm looking right now, there's probably people lining up outside of my apartment to picket and protest. But it's, you know, what word you use, but that's so pervasive in our society. Now it's gone into college sports, high school sports, Olympic sports, people are so mixed up about what they are, who they are, they were born the wrong way, that, you know, that's more important in our country than trying to find peace with our neighbors in other countries and have good trade relations and make our cities safe so that, you know, people can walk down the streets and feel safe and not be robbed. Where, go back to Baltimore, because that's something I'm familiar with. Even when I still lived there before I moved to Tennessee 6 years ago, Little Italy part of Baltimore, which used to be very thriving and prosperous, the crime had gotten so bad that Little Italy was actually shutting down. And many of these people were mob connected and carried weapons, and they were getting out of Baltimore. And it was one of the first times I've ever heard about any major city where, you know, every major city's got a Little Italy, a Germantown, a Little China or Chinatown. But this is the first time that I've ever heard of. I mean, it's probably happened before, but that one of these segregated little areas of a city that's, you know, beautiful and goes to the cultural values of the people that founded that area of the city, you know, is basically shut down and run out by the thugs. I mean, the safest place in Baltimore used to be down at the Inner Harbor. There was a shops and there was a nice indoor mall and stuff. And that's where people would go and where the tourism was. There's really nothing to see in Baltimore. Stay away if you value your life and the life of your loved ones. Do not, under any circumstances, go to Baltimore. But back when people would go to Baltimore and it was a little bit safer, that's where they would go. But even before I moved, the Bloods and the Crips, that's the safest part of the city. The Bloods and the Crips had a shootout right in front of that mall on a Saturday afternoon at like 1 or 2 p.m. And it's just police have always been corrupt down there. For a while, you had a good police chief that made a difference, and then he got brought up on federal charges because he made people mad. and that's a long story that I won't go into, but you know, since then it's become an issue of you don't want somebody in that can make a change, because if they happen to be white, it's automatically racist to have a white leader. And so you will keep voting for these people like Squeegee Boy as mayor. The previous mayor had some, she had some stuff going on that wasn't very ethical. But then the mayor before her, Sheila Dixon, she, at Christmas, people were making donations of gift cards and stuff for the poor people, and so the kids could have a good Christmas. Well, she took the gift cards and was using them for herself and her family, and was also giving special favors, and not those kind of special favors, but it was giving special favors and treatment to different contractors who would donate to her, which, and this is just one, that's just Baltimore. And every major city is the same. It's, there's so much corruption. I mean, look at what New York used to be, and look at, you know, look, when I lived in California, San Francisco was the most beautiful. I lived in California from like 90 to 91 for 18 months, and San Francisco was the most beautiful city I'd ever seen. I'd always loved Tampa, but San Francisco was huge. It was beautiful, and there was no place in the city, for the most part, that I ever went that I felt unsafe. And I would go every weekend. I would go, you know, down to San Francisco, and it was just gorgeous. To the shops, go to Chinatown. Every day at Chinatown, and I forget now if it's more than once a day, but it was at least once a day. They would have parades and the dragons, and it was just beautiful experiencing all these cultures and getting to see so many different cultures living together, and living together mostly in harmony, each in their own little areas, but still everybody was welcome, and it was a wonderful place. And San Francisco is San Francisco, so you had a lot of gay people there, which is fine, and but everybody got along then. It's not like now where there's just so much hatred against everybody, and, you know, it's, you know, and it's just sad to see what happened to San Francisco, because now they have the little apps you can put on your phone so you can navigate your way down the sidewalk without stepping in the poop from homeless people. Meanwhile, Tampa still, from everything I hear from my friends still living there, it's still a beautiful and a very safe city. And it's not much different than when I was there, as far as the safety factor, that you could go anywhere and feel safe. It's grown up a lot, and places like Ybor City have really grown. That was kind of, Ybor City was a really rough area. It's a little outskirt area of Tampa, and it used to be, back in the day, a lot of cigar warehouses that would, and factories that would make cigars, but when I lived there, it was pretty rough area, and I lived in there. I lived there for a little bit, and there's like this one area that I used to just, to keep the community clean, I'd go out there with a sickle and I'd cut the grass in this field just so it would look nice. And now that area's really been built up. It's a really yuppie area. It's the, I guess, more even the millennial generation than the yuppies have. It's become really artsy, and it's really just a lot of clubs and a lot of events, and everybody's just, that's where they go now for, you know, all the hot clubs supposedly now are in that area. But it's still safe. It's, you're not getting shot and murdered like you are in Baltimore. You're not getting shot and murdered and worse like you are in San Francisco. San Francisco, all the stores are closing because, in Los Angeles, because of the law that it's just, you can only now be prosecuted if it's like under $1,000, you can steal and not have to worry about getting prosecuted. So that's like open season for theft for the stores. And then people complain when the stores close and they don't have stores in their community. It's like when the racial stuff happened in Baltimore, they burned down a brand new huge drugstore, multi-million dollar investment in the community. They built it down, and the drugstore, I don't remember now if it was a CVS or a Walgreens, but they were like, no, we're not going to rebuild. There's no point in it because it'll just happen again. It reminds me of watching, I was living in California when the Rodney King stuff was going on, and San Francisco area was pretty there really wasn't any problems. I lived about maybe an hour north of San Francisco between Petaluma and Santa Rosa, but our area is pretty good, and San Francisco just immediately did lockdowns at night. They had a curfew, so problems couldn't happen. But watching the Rodney King riots unfold on TV, people were burning down their own communities, like always happens with the riots nowadays. And then the next day, they were complaining that, you know, all the stores were gone, the restaurants were gone. And, you know, that's not honoring the memory of anybody that's been, and Rodney King's case, it was found that, yeah, the police were inappropriate and they violated his civil rights. And even though the other guys that were in the back seat of the car didn't get the crap beat out of him, it was just Rodney King, just because he was so hopped up on drugs, he wouldn't cooperate with the police. But that doesn't mean he should have the snot beat out of him either. But our country, we need to try to fix ourselves and quit worrying so much about what's going on in other countries, because we, the citizens, are the ones who are getting ignored the most by the government. All they're concerned about are the diplomatic relations and all the relations with all the major corporations to continue to get funding for their campaign so they can move up the ladder. As soon as anybody gets a position anywhere in any government, you know, they're immediately thinking about the next step. They're immediately thinking about, okay, I'm a governor now, so, well, I need to do this, this, and this so I can run for president, or I can be a senator or a congressman. Nobody wants to get a job and just find the job that they like and they are happy with. And if I'm not going to, somebody wants to, they can Google the word Peter Principle, but that's kind of the way society, at least business and stuff somewhat works, that people keep getting promoted until they get to a level where they can't do anymore because they're too incompetent. I'm basically badly paraphrasing it, but it's our government. It's just most of these people have no experience with anything, and it's been really sad when we've had presidents in who do not have military service, where they're in charge of commanding our troops, because if they've had military service, at least the troops have some more respect for them and camaraderie and trust their judgment. But we've got so many politicians that just don't like Biden, who, you know, and this is an age knock, and it's not in him particularly. It would be against anybody that age. But when he went through college, college and what they were taught in school back then, that's a completely different world and political system we're living under now. And anything you may have been taught back then is not relevant. And it's so you can't, you know, years later, when Biden finally gets his shot at being president, he has no qualifications or skills to be president, even if he wasn't a senile old man. And now the way you got with the COVID being released, and that was largely on Trump. That, you know, my wife and I were having discussion when that happened, because we had just got back from finally finishing 3 years of working on her dad's house in Mississippi so that we could put it up for sale. And we had just got back at the end of November, right before Thanksgiving, and then COVID, you know, started hitting and really making the news in early December. But Trump, with his giving into Fauci and Burks, and giving into them with all these recommendations of cracking down and shutting everything down, which didn't help, and coming up with these vaccines that were magically there. You know, normally to be fair, the Moderna vaccine is based on the SARS vaccine that was developed 10 years ago, so it just needed a little tweaking. But all of these vaccines are suddenly there. None of them are safe and been tested or proven. And, you know, they're making so many people sick. Now, I've got family members that took them and so far are okay, but, you know, how long will they be okay, or will they be shorten lifespan because of these vaccines? You don't know. I mean, look at the problems that Gates had with some of the vaccines. he was putting out into Africa with the state, and it was sterilizing the young girls. And it was, of course, that was his stated goal. He had talked about, you know, population control through vaccines. So, I mean, that's not woke, you know, that's not woke math, or that's 1 + 1 = 2. That's what he was wanting to do. But it's, you know, we just got the governments out of control globally, and, you know, everybody's local governments are out of control. It's just like Pat just said, it's, they're against the people. It's not just not wanting to help us. They're in many cases wanting to kill us. And the only thing we're here for is revenue generation for all of the government employees and their business buddies. And it's really getting sad about what's happening to our country, because I'm not the only one in Revolution Radio who's ever been in the military, and we all took an oath. Anybody who's been in the military, or even policemen, the oath is very similar for policemen. And our oath doesn't have an enlistment date, but some of us are getting kind of old and it's not in the best health. So it's very difficult for us to be leading the battle anymore due to health reasons. But the younger generations are so, I don't even know what even a polite word to use for the younger generations, but, you know, they're just so broken down, and so just acceptance of whatever the government tells them and whatever the TV or the media tells them, that, you know, they don't even want to try to help their own community or anything anymore. It's all about making money, trying not to work, but still wanting to make the money and be, you know, keep up with the old, keep up with the Joneses, and to have a life. But it's really, you know, it's just the brainwashing of these children. And it's all starting in this, you know, it all starts in the schools, and it starts in the homes with so many of the parents, especially in the yuppie demographic, which, if I know, we got some people from other countries that may not understand that term, but yuppie generally refers to young urban professionals. But these people are often just having kids for social status. There's nobody in the home raising the kids but the internet or TV. Both parents will work. And thank you, and tune in tomorrow for Mitchell Be Back.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne,
and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday.